This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn, and of course on YouTube at the Team 980. No guest today for Not My Beat because the guest is the story. Wait, what? I'll explain in a moment.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
So this morning, Mike Rizzo, the recently removed president of baseball operations and general manager of the Washington Nationals, was on the Sports Junkies, where he was a guest for, God, a decade more, while he was at the helm of the Nationals, weekly with the Junkies during the season. They talked at spring training, like, great relationship that we at the radio stations are very appreciative of Mike for and the Nationals for over the years. Not every club gives you the top executive all the time, and Mike was willing to do that and explain things and answer tough questions. He showed up on weeks that were hard. He showed up on weeks where they were winning, and it was easy to just be like, hey, how great a job are you doing? I'm doing great. But I thought it was a really interesting interview, especially in light of some of the things that I have read over the last couple of days, many of them bluntly by Barry Sferluga, who I think does as good of a job thinking about and writing about the Washington Nationals as anybody. And Barry's written three banger columns over the last couple of days. And the last one is kind of what the Nats do, or the middle one, I should say, the one that came out yesterday, is kind of what the Nats do from here. And the big point in Barry's column that I thought was interesting was, you know, when Rizzo took over there, he took over and Stan Kasten had been here, and Kasten had been the president of the team. And there was, while Rizzo was in charge of the baseball, there was never this voice of ownership. And there was never someone to be like, hey, this is what ownership is thinking. Like, I am the conduit to ownership. Rizzo, in fact, often, especially over the last 6 years, has been in conflict, it seems, with ownership based on the reporting. And so one of the things that Barry talked about that I thought was interesting that framed my mindset listening in this morning to the Junkies, and of course, the full interview is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, just search for the Sports Junkies. That idea of, like, that was a gap that was never filled, and there was seemed to be some space between Rizzo and ownership, was certainly something that I was thinking about. And then, frankly, after the interview and listening to Rizzo, there's something else Barry wrote about Mike DiBartolo, the new general manager who spoke for the first time last time. I should say the new interim general manager. He's just an interim. But he said, like, ownership has empowered me to do a bunch of stuff, and there's different ways to spend in an organization, and there's technology and staffing and infrastructure. And I'm like, huh. If ownership's on board with that and it hasn't been done, seems like perhaps while a lot of the blame is being thrown at ownership, and certainly there's a lot of blame to go around, perhaps who is driving the ship matters. And so let's play some of Rizzo, and then I want to bring all those thoughts together. In a bit of hope for the Washington Nationals, just a smidge of hope. It will require a lot of good work by a lot of good people, or a lot of people. I don't know whether they're good or not. I hope they're good. But let's start off with just the end. The timing of being fired. This actually was not a surprise to Rizzo in the way it was a surprise to many of us.
I was a little surprised, but I wasn't shocked. Mark Lerner and I talk every Monday since I've been here. So, you know, we're in constant contact, at least every Monday since I've been there. And when Ted was here, it was Ted and Mark every Monday. So, you know, we have a pretty consistent communication throughout the season. And I don't think it was based on any one series. I don't think the Red Sox series pushed anybody over the edge. But I think it was a little surprising just because of the timing. But, you know, when you have conversations with ownership and they make decisions and when you are in the point where you're, struggling in the season and you're trying to make everything right and play better baseball, it could happen. It could have happened at any time during the season.
Yeah. It's a bad baseball team. Has been a bad baseball team. I don't know that it's as bad as the roster. And at some point, I think you can look at the manager and be like, okay, well, then why is that happening? But also, maybe the individual pieces are not built well to be a collective. And I think the way that we think about successful baseball teams now in the Moneyball and post-Moneyball era, since data impacted the way we think about the game in a much more significant way, is we're looking for certain players that can do certain things. And I think that is an area where the Nats can get a lot better, is like, what is their ideal third baseman? What is their ideal shortstop? What characteristics does he have in the field? What characteristics does he have at the plate? And what things specific to that position do we need when we're building a lineup and when we're building a group of fielders? And ultimately, obviously, the biggest area of miss right now outside of Mackenzie Gore, a pitching staff. And those are things I'm thinking about as I listened to Mike Rizzo this morning. And we talked to really smart people like Chelsea James, who was telling us that the Tampa Bay Rays have like five people or multiple people in the organization that focus just on the catcher position. And they have an exact profile of catcher that they want, of exactly how their catchers are going to frame pitches. And I'm like, I don't feel like that's the type of thing that the Nationals are thinking about currently. And if it is, it's not the kind of thing that the lead decision maker is thinking about. And so ultimately that the results add up and they're bad. And yeah, that's when GMs and managers lose their job. And Mike Rizzo does not seem to have any regrets. And this is a line that he came back to Frank Sinatra style many times during this interview.
It was a, trying couple of days and, since the weekend, but hey, we're all adults here. We're big boys. We know what we're into when we take these jobs. And, we had a hell of a run. And I'm proud of what we've accomplished. And I know I did it my way. I did it the way I led the organization and the franchise the way I felt was best to maximize our potential. And we had a lot of success. And at the end of the day, I've said this for years, every year since I've been on this program, it's, this is a performance-based industry.
Yeah, it is. And I think the thing that, as we continue to play some of these bites here, the thing that really, kind of miffed me about listening to Rizzo, if I'm just being honest this morning, is that the I did it my way, and you have to work with what you have, and all those things seem to make it seem like this has been a middling team just on the verge of doing better over the last 6 years since they won the World Series. They're the second worst team in baseball. There is a lot that has to go on. And I know this is, by the way, by no means meant to let the Lerners off the hook. They have not invested enough in this organization. And maybe they're about to, and that's going to make, some of the narrative shift. Like, oh, maybe it was Rizzo's fault all along. And there's going to be, for the last 6 years, like, thanks, Mike, for 2019 and all the divisions before. But, post that, he lost his fastball. And it's like, there's probably some of that where the game has moved on in ways that if you want to compete, as more and more front offices got to be quote-unquote smart front offices, and the position of general manager changed, and Mike Rizzo doesn't seem to have changed with it, quote-unquote, I did it my way. There's some of that, but also, did they empower Mike Rizzo while keeping him employed to be the best version of himself? Clearly not over the last bunch of years. But I think the thing that I overall left this interview with between Mike Rizzo and the Junkies feeling towards Rizzo specifically is there is more blame on his side of the blame pie than I think a lot of people in the immediate aftermath who just wanted to blow up the learner's spot wanted to give to Rizzo, which gets us to this quote from Rizzo.
And the secret of being a good executive and a good general manager is you do the best you can with what you have. We've all gone through this, whether you're in baseball or in life in general. You do the best with what you have, and we didn't, in ownership's eyes, we didn't do enough with it, so they made a change.
To say in ownership's eyes we didn't cast the blame to ownership versus like having a real hard look at like did we or did we not, which brings us to this quote from Mike DiBartolo, the interim general manager, yesterday as he held court for the first time in the visiting dugout in St. Louis. Every conversation I've had with ownership is they want to build a winner, and they want to build a winner as soon as they can, and they're motivated, DiBartolo said. There are a lot of different ways to invest in the club, whether it's staffing, technology, players. They have a lot of questions about the best way to do it. And they've been asking a lot of good questions. And I can sense a desire from them to get us back to being a championship caliber club. And I love this because I'm reading this from Barry's for Lucas column. Barry's next line is, hold them to it. Someone, anyone, Mike. And so, yeah, absolutely. There needs to be more investment from ownership. But who is making the sales pitch matters. And if you have even less data than other teams, how you use that data matters. This is something that if you've listened to this show for a long time, you've heard me say a million times. Analytics are a tool, and they are only as good as the craftsman who holds them. Actually, Anthony, I'm going to be honest. I don't think I've ever said it exactly that way before, and I wish I had. That was a bar.
I was about to say, yeah, I don't know if you said it exactly like that, but it sounded
That's good. Better than I've ever said that before. Congratulations, everybody. You've listened to the best version of this show that's ever existed. But that's what it is, right? Analytics are a tool. And if you can give 28 people a spreadsheet with the same exact data on it, and the conclusions they draw out of that data are all going to be different. And the person or the people that do the most with the data are going to be the most successful. It's a tool. And so if Rizzo is saying, hey, we need this thing, and he's making the sales pitch, and whether it's a technology piece, whether it's a new analytics thing, and he's not doing a good job of selling the learners that it's worth their money, and they're like, eh, don't think so. And now Mike DiBartolo comes in, and he's like, yeah, when I have these conversations with ownership, even though we've only been having them for 2 days, or maybe I've had some conversations in the past as the assistant general manager, the number two in charge, and they've been very receptive, that tells me that maybe Mike DiBartolo has a different way of making these decisions and of thinking you're selling the importance of certain things that cost money. And ultimately, like, that's your job as a lead executive who's not in charge of the money. If you have carte blanche to do whatever you want and you don't have to ask ownership, that's one thing. If you have to ask ownership, which is most organizations, that's not the learners specifically. I'm sure Adam Peters has to ask Josh Harris for, you know, if it costs more than X, I kind of want to sign off on it. And you're going to have to tell me why it's worth it. What's the payoff? And if Rizzo is not on top of the newest technology and or does a bad job of selling that to owners, it's, yes, ownership, you would love to then be curious and go out and find more on their own and be like, oh, yes, we do need this. And please make sure you don't mess up using it so we're not wasting money. But ultimately, like, there is, I'll summarize here because I feel like now I'm talking in circles. After listening to Rizzo this morning and after reading the quotes from DiBartolo, I think there is more blame on Rizzo's plate for the failures of the last 6 years than a lot of us were giving him credit for, because he is clearly very smart. He's a good executive who has had a lot of success. His resume is excellent. But your resume in the last 6 years is you have built and presided over the second worst team in baseball. And the areas in which the game has evolved, you have not evolved with. And that's ultimately why he's gone. I think DeBartolo made a heck of an opening salvo last night with some of the things he said, where he's like, I understand where some of the areas where we've come short. And yes, we're going to do things differently. Very different, notably, than Miguel Cairo, who's basically like, I'm going to try to honor Dave Martinez and go 1-0 tonight. It's like, okay, buddy. They're longtime friends. It is what it is. The season is what it is. But considering the long-term impacts of the number one draft pick Sunday and a trade deadline where you could see a Mackenzie Gore trade coming up, not to mention other smaller moves that could be hugely significant moving forward, I feel actually my initial impressions and reading about Mike DeBartolo, I feel very confident in his ability to do that. And then apparently also Barry had in his reporting that the Nationals ownership group has already started reaching out to people around baseball to try to get a sense of who might be worth talking to in this offseason. And I think Barry also made a really good point in his column that, you know, when George McPhee left the Capitals, when Leonsis finally moved on from him in the mid-2010s, they hired the number two, and everyone at the time thought, what a nightmare. But the case was made to ownership. Like, I actually know, I don't agree with everything we did, and I intimately know the weak areas, but also I know what's good, and that puts me in a unique place to lead this franchise. And that was a compelling and ultimately correct assessment as the Capitals went on to win the Stanley Cup 4 years later and two President's Trophies before that. So maybe DeBartolo winds up being the guy, maybe he doesn't. But at the very least, this is someone who, while supporting Rizzo for a long time, seems to have his own ideas. And I think that's really important, especially in a front office where I think Rizzo was the ultimate decision maker for a long time. And it sounds like he acted as an executive sometimes has to. Like, he had to make the decisions. But sometimes those decisions were not the ones that the group would have made if it had been a full-on democracy. And I think that is worth pointing out as well. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We got a time for a call or two on all of that with you next at 301-230-0980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's Hoffman's show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. I was confused for a second, Anthony, because you play like the real version of the song, and there was a countdown on the screen, and I guess that's the intro to the lyrics. Yes.
Yes, that is the countdown to the lyrics.
Yeah, and I was like, whoa. I was like, am I about to run out of song? How long have I not been? I was watching something on Instagram real quick and reading some stuff and whatever, but I was like, has this song been playing for a long time? Are we about to run out of, do I have to start talking fast? I was like, no, I'm pretty sure this is the intro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite songs. They played this at Camp Day yesterday.
They played a lot of stuff at Camp Day yesterday.
I was very
excited. My favorite it was actually when there was a song that you didn't know, and you're like, oh, I don't know this one, and the kids are going crazy, and I was like, ha-ha, welcome to old madness.
And there was another song that I thought that was a Taylor Swift song, but whose song was it?
That was the Chapel Roan song.
Yeah, Chapel Roan.
Yeah, how do you not know Chapel Roan, bro?
The thing is, I do know, but at the same token, I don't know.
You want to run that one
back?
All right,
so last year, I'm pretty sure last year when we, like, probably around this time of the year, actually, we were probably talking about TikTok songs, and I remember this being a very, it was a very trendy song.
Yeah, it's H-O-T-T-O-G-O.
Yeah.
Hot to go.
Yeah.
H-O-T-T-O-G-O.
Yep.
Yeah, that one.
And I hadn't quite known, you know, the song lyrics or the dance behind it. So
the dance is easy.
Yeah, you had put me onto it.
It's just.
Can you show me?
No, it's just make the letters. It's like the YMCA, except for you spell H-O-T-T-O-G-O.
So go ahead.
I'm good.
Hey, Craig will never ever dance.
Not while the cameras are running. I know where my strengths lie, Anthony.
Hey, the thing is though, Craig, I will catch you one day. I'm just going, got him.
Yeah, but this is why I control the cameras.
It's all good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if you see, or I care less if you see.
Yeah.
You gotta stay within the box. You gotta stay within. There was a comedian at some point that had that. It's like, the problem, especially with white people dancing, is that, well, there's two of my favorite bits ever. One, I can't remember whose it is, so I apologize to the comedian whose bit I'm ripping off right now. It's basically like, you gotta stay in the box, like, you gotta stay in here. Uh-huh. And like, people try to get outside the box, and like, that's where it all goes haywire. The funniest bit I've ever heard from a comedian on dancing was Trevor Noah. I think it was his last tour. Maybe it was two ago. I don't know. But I saw him do this bit at Capital One Arena, which is one of the funny. Like, do you realize how hard it is to do stand-up? Actually, you might, because you barely survive 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He did like a 2+ hour set, and it was good. You realize how hard it is to talk to an audience for 2 hours and for everyone to just be wrapped on their seat, the edge of their seat, being like, this is amazing.
And he had nothing on his hand. Like,
I swear he did two hours.
Like, have like, they'll write something down. They have a card. Like, they'll have something they can like glance at.
I think it was,
so they know, yeah, like, where
I think
they
it
are.
Was one of the first shows he did on that particular tour.
That's impressive.
And so he hadn't really pared it all down, because like, typically they tape the special towards the end of the tour.
Uh-huh.
And so we just got like kind of unfiltered first big arena show of whatever that tour was. And he just, like, they literally, I think at some point, like, someone got in his ear and was like, hey, man, we got to wrap up because, like, we don't have the building past midnight. And, like, we have to get out. It was like it was like 11 o'clock and he was still going and he had gone on at 9.
That's
it was crazy. But one of the bits from that is that he's like, I have finally figured out why, like, the difference in white people and black people dancing. And he's like, black people, like, you know, speaking as Trevor Noah, obviously, like, we, from Africa, we invented the drums and the beat and the rhythm, and white people are dancing to the lyrics. And he's like, the Anglo-Saxon history of word, like, it was so funny.
Oh, man.
And he just, like, he somehow, like, started doing the bit, I think. And then, like, he had the whole crowd singing Sweet Caroline all of a sudden. And, of course, it's a room full of probably, I don't know, 11 to 14,000 white people of the 20,000. And yeah. So there's ba, 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 you know, whatever, the Sweet Caroline, ba, ba, ba. Like, the whole deal. It was amazing.
Wow.
So funny. I've seen him live probably 4 or 5 times.
Good gracious.
Maybe not 4 or 5, 3 or 4. Anyway, however many it is, worth it every time.
Yeah, for sure.
Worth it every time. Anyway, that's not Mike Rizzo talk, but that's where we went with way. Yep. They don't. Yeah, Anthony giving the full TikTok dance. Anyway, when we get back, something else that's silly, but in a different way. Play call nomenclature. Oh, wait, are we doing that next? No. What are we doing next? We're doing the Wizard stuff next.
Yes.
This is what happens when we blow up the rundown 5 minutes before the show, and then I don't remember what's next. We will get to the take command play call nomenclature stuff, why the Commanders use short play calls to their advantage in a way that many other teams don't, and the advantages and disadvantages of long versus short play calls, because of a great mailbag question that Logan and I had a lot of fun with. So that's coming up at 6:15. Cam Whitmore's high school coach is going to join us at 6. Up next, though, we will talk some Wizards, talking about both the Cam Whitmore and Kelly Olynyk trades that have gone down since the big trade, the Jordan Poole trade, was announced on Sunday. That's next here on the Team 980. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Always on iHeartRadio and TuneIn now as well. New places to check out the show. As always, we're streaming live video side on YouTube at the Team 980. So the Wizards on Sunday made the trades official, acquiring Kelly Olynyk from the Pelicans. I mentioned first because he is now out again, and we'll get into that in a second, as well as CJ McCollum. They obviously also get Cam Whitmore from the Rockets. We'll talk to Whitmore's high school coach from Archbishop Spalding coming up at 6 p.m. DMV kid coming home. Some very cool pictures that Whitmore shared, him getting a jersey signed by Martian Gortat. So very, very cool to see him coming home. But Anthony, the first and foremost, the Olynyk trade means that Kelly Olynyk never gets to be a Wizard. And there is some justice in that, because rooting for Kelly Olynyk clearly would have been one, like, just emotionally confusing for Washington Wizards fans. The last most relevant game that the Washington Wizards play was the Kelly Olynyk game in 2016. Which is, I mean, I guess, you know, in the Russ Beal year, like, there was some significant games, but, like, really, the last big game the Wizards played was almost 10 years ago, and Kelly Olynyk came out of nowhere to ruin it for the Boston Celtics. And so, no, you do not get to be a Washington Wizard.
Nah, yeah, he doesn't. I was very relieved because that, first of all, him being here just didn't sit right with my spirit. But now that he's gone and he'll no longer put on a Wizards jersey, I can sleep at night peacefully.
Oh, I'm glad you can sleep at night peacefully. Then there is what is left for the Wizards, which is quite a bit in terms of gentlemen who are somewhere between 19 and 22 years old. And then there is the senior citizen category of a couple of guys. Senior citizen being relative, and if I was on the team, I would be a senior citizen. So sorry to Chris Middleton, Marcus Smart, who is younger than me. Marcus Smart and CJ McCollum, who is, I believe, also younger than me. Chris Middleton and I think are actually the same. How old is Chris Middleton? Chris Middleton is 33. Damn it. He's younger than me, too. God, I'm so old, Anthony. When did this happen?
33? Good gracious.
When LeBron retires, I'm so cooked. Because LeBron's like way older than me.
And Chris Paul.
Yeah. When they retire, I'm cooked. Anyway, the point is, currently on the Wizards roster, in terms of guys that are like 20, let's go 25 or younger, you have Bub Carrington, Keyshawn George, Alex Sarr, Justin Champagne, who's like ancient by Wizards standards because he turned 24 in late June. You have Corey Kispert is actually graduated. Congrats, Corey. You're out of the, you're like 26, so you don't count. Bilal, you have Tristan Vukcevic. You have Rashawn Holmes is actually in the old man club. And he's at this point going to play quite a bit. Malcolm Brogdon is still on the team, although there's a ton of trade rumors around him. He's in the old man club. AJ Johnson, who was born in 2004. And then you have Marcus Smart, Chris Middleton, obviously younger. And then you have the guys that they have acquired in the last couple of days and slash the draft picks. You have Trey Johnson. You have Blake Wesley, who was acquired in the Spurs deal for Kelly Olynyk. You have, I said Trey Johnson, right? You have Will Riley, the other draft pick. You have, I feel like I skipped Keyshawn George, but he's there. So you just have, let's see, if you have Bub, Trey, Blake Wesley, Cam Whitmore, Trey Johnson. No, I said Trey Johnson already. Keyshawn, Alex Saar, Will Riley, Vukcevic, Whitmore, I think I didn't say yet. That's eight guys under the age of 25. And like not on, I'm having to bounce back and forth between depth charts because certain things are more updated than others. I don't think I said Champagne. That's nine. So you're somewhere between like seven when all is said and done, depending on how the two-way guys go. You have a guy like JT Thor, who was a two-way guy, Jalen Martin, two-way guy. Those are both younger guys. So like you're going to have somewhere between eight and like 12 guys that are 22 years old or younger. That is one. I would hope that that breeds a wildly competitive atmosphere. Like, because I mean, I saw a video, I think Varun posted it, of Trey and Bub shooting contest. Like they're yapping at each other. You know, you can't beat me. Oh, I've already beat the Rook this, whatever. And so, like, these guys are already in the gym getting after it. Some of these guys have known each other for a long time. I mean, Bub and Cam go way, way back to the AAU circuit when they were, like, 8 years old.
That's cool, too.
Yeah, these guys have competed hard against each other for a long time, so that's nothing new. And as long as you have the right veterans to make sure that competitive spirit and make sure that competitiveness is guided in the right directions, which Marcus Smart, Chris Middleton, CJ McCollum, et cetera, Malcolm Brogdon, as long as he's here, like those are the right kind of guys. Corey Kispert is like a nice in the middle type of guy. Like these are the right types of guys. The Wizards are not going to win a lot of games this year. They can't win a lot of games this year. They need a high draft pick. But this is the end of that. This, to me, is the final year of we got to be bad, and that's because the draft pick is top eight protected, and this draft is loaded, and they still don't have the guy. That is the thing they're still hoping for, and they can get it with any one of four picks potentially in next year's draft. Obviously, the top pick, or the higher the pick, the better. But I still think that what they've done with all of this young talent is they have set themselves up to follow where a lot of people look at it as an Oklahoma City type of path because Will and Michael came from that route. In many ways, it's the Houston Rockets path where can we get enough young talent that we can be pretty good as it matures, but there's so much of it where we can afford to trade a Jalen Green for a better veteran, and that's how we ultimately build the team if we don't get our guy. And if you get A.J. DeBonta next year, then yeah, you're probably still making some trades down the line with some of these young guys to try to flip them for better, more veteran assets when you're ready to win, like and win big. And it'll take DeBonta a couple of years, even though he's as highly thought of as Flag. But even if you don't get DeBonta, if you can flip, you know, I don't want to say any names because, but like pick two of the guys that we just talked about and a pick because they have that too to another team that's in more of a rebuilding phase, but maybe they have a disgruntled star who wants out. That's how you kickstart your rebuild a la what Houston did. Houston, by the way, the number two seed last year in the Western Conference, who added Kevin Durant in the offseason. And I know Durant's 37 and Durant has his complications, but that dude is still an unbelievable offensive basketball player. And the Rockets are one of the favorites in the league this year. And I think that has emerged as a plausible path for the Wizards moving forward. I don't know how quickly, but I think you look at the roster setup and you go, oh, okay, these things are maybe making some moves on the margins, but they set up. If you move enough on the margins, you're in a very different place than you were. And I feel like the Wizards, considering how deep the hole they had to dig out of was when this group took over, have done a whole lot. They've removed a whole lot of dirt, and they're ready to start filling in with the true foundation of the team, and in many ways have.
Yeah, I think in trading for all of these young guys, I just see Will and Michael, you know, taking swings on as many high-level players or guys with
upside. Yeah.
And then like seeing what sort of kind of connects. And I think we saw that with the Rockets, and we saw that with the Thunder. But just taking those chances on all these guys and seeing what connects, I think is a way for you to figure out, you know, what's going to work here and fit here kind of thing. And then, you know, going on from there. So,
and I think the one thing that they've done a really good job of the last 2 years is they've found guys with elite traits. They're not well-rounded, but I don't know that, like, they haven't had the chance to do that. Like, those are the Cooper Flags. Those are the Dylan Harpers. They haven't missed on anybody in that way. What they have done is given themselves a chance to have a great player at something. And whether that fits, those players wind up fitting together to be greater than the sum of their parts here, or you have the perfect fit for a team that will then give you something of value in return, and eventually that's how you acquire your well-rounded guy. Like, Alex Sarr has all defense potential with his movement skills and all the things. Trey Johnson, we'll see if he can defend at the NBA level. I'm guessing not very much as a rookie, but he's going to be challenged to do so. But that dude can score the freaking ball. And, like, they didn't have a guy like that. You know who else can score the ball? Cam Whitmore. Cam Whitmore doesn't do a lick of anything else yet in the NBA, and he'll be, again, challenged to do that. He has... I was listening to Lowe's pod, and I thought he put it pretty humorously and well. He's like, his decision tree currently has one branch on it. It is get the ball, shoot. If have ball, shoot. That is Cam Whitmore's current decision tree. He'll be challenged to be more of a playmaker, to rebound, to defend, etc. He actually rebounds it at a pretty decent rate. But like Malachi Branham, the guy they just got from the Spurs in the Olynyk deal. I don't know how long he is for the Wizards, and I don't know if he's going to be any good. What I do know is that he did shoot in limited minutes, in limited opportunities, 40% from three last year on a team that desperately needs shooting. He also was like 30% 2 years ago. So has he found it? Like, did he take a second to adjust from college to pro, and he's actually a 40% three-point shooter that the Wizards just acquired for a guy that didn't fit their timeline at all? Like, that'd be sweet. What if all of a sudden you're surrounding the Bub Carringtons of the world, an elite competitor, that's his superpower, with and a guy who's going to get downhill and drive. You surround him with Trey Johnson and Corey Kispert and Malachi Branham. And, like, that's a lineup that can score a little bit. Okay. The Wizards couldn't really score last year. That'd be cool. They need more decision makers. They need more ball handlers. Like, we'll see what Will Riley develops into. You know, he's listed currently as a power forward on the depth chart at ESPN.com. And I think he's going to wind up playing some point guard. So, like, who knows what he could be as a player. But, like, this is the cool thing, is they have taken guys who have a chance to be really good. And even if they go 2-for-8 on the really good part, I even mentioned Bilal, like, who's the best player of them all right now. If they go 2-for-8, like, that's pretty good considering where they've been drafting. And if the rest of them are solid to good and they get 2 really good, and then you just have to find your great, that's how you build a championship team. That's what the Rockets are trying to do. You know, the Thunder did it a different way. Other teams have done it different ways. But that is, I think, the hope, obviously, for what Washington is doing. When we get back, we can talk a little bit more about this, including with you at 301-230-0980 before Josh Pratt, who is Cam Whitmore's coach at Archbishop Spalding in Severn, joins us here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Talking to Cam Whitmore's high school coach, newest wizard from the DMV. That's coming up in 8 minutes here on the Hoffman Show. I saw something that I wanted to mention on the show in the break, Anthony, and I've wanted to mention it for a couple of days, so I'm going to take the opportunity to do it real quick here. Total off script. Anthony now holds his breath because he has no idea where I'm going with this.
I don't. I'm along for the ride, sir.
That's what you should put on your LinkedIn page. Producer of the Hoffman Show. I'm just along for the ride. No, you sometimes at least give me directions. Whether I follow them or not is totally, you know, that's my job. I drive. So Ben Shelton at Wimbledon is out after losing to Yannick Sinner this morning. Another terrific run for the young American. I thought he had some great, like, introspective on his game quotes afterwards where he's talking about the challenges of playing Sinner and specifically on grass and the whole thing. But he's not actually the one I want to talk about. I would like to talk about his girlfriend, who is U.S. Women's National Team star, Washington Spirit star, Olympic gold medalist, and arguably the most impactful player on that team. Certainly one of the three most, along with Mallory Swanson and Sophia at the time, Smith, now Wilson, who were nicknamed Triple Espresso. Trinity Rodman is one of the most famous female athletes in the world. She is one of the best athletes in the world, period, full stop. And so she is dating Shelton and has been able to with the NWSL summer break, and there's a lot of speculation whether she'll actually come back or whether she's just about to sign a deal in Europe anyway. But she has been in his box at Wimbledon with his family. And on the ESPN broadcast the other day, she was misnamed as Tiffany Rodman. And they decided to bring up everyone's dumbest fun fact about Trinity Rodman, which is, yes, her father is the former NBA player Dennis Rodman. Trinity has talked at length about how she does not have a relationship with her father. And in fact, the relationship they have had has been very hurtful and harmful to her. Like, he is, I'll say this kindly in case there are children in your car, he was essentially a donor. And to the extent that he has showed up in her life, it has been incredibly disruptive and harmful. And she has talked about this in interviews. She has talked about this at length, most recently on the Call Her Daddy podcast about a year ago after the Olympics. And what was a very, I actually thought the interview crossed the line in terms of how invasive it was. But she, that was part of the deal, was like, I'm going to talk about this one more time and I'm done. And I just, so after this happens, Trin goes on Instagram and is like, my name is not Tiffany. And then I am there supporting Ben with his family. And the fact that you need to bring up my dad's name, like when he doesn't even come to my matches, is ridiculous. Please stop mentioning him. And then this is actually the part that I find reprehensible, is you have a ton of like website, social media, like sports aggregator type accounts. So it's like, I think Awful Announcing occasionally does really, really good stuff. And so this is not like a Awful Announcing sucks and I hate them. There are other outlets that I think are far, far worse, but I happen to see their headline. And the headline is Trinity Rodman upset at coverage at US Open, or some version of that. Why is it the headline about how sports broadcasters have apparently no file on one of the world's most famous athletes, and why she would be perhaps more relevant to a sports audience than someone else's significant other in the tournament? Like, what is wrong with people, and what is wrong with the sports media, Anthony, that like they think that's the play? Oh, I know what the story is here. It's that a human being who's incredibly famous and worthwhile, who has a toxic and terrible relationship with her father and would like for sports announcers to not bring it up, and also would like to be called the right name, simply asks for that human decent respect. That's the headline, not the fact that they did that thing. Like, it is just insane to me that you would think about centering Rodman in the story, not the announcers who did the thing that is wrong. If the story is not that she called it out, the story is that it happens. The fact that she had to call it out is a problem and a reflection on the same people who are now talking about her calling it out and not the thing that they should have called out in the first place.
I think also those broadcasters and the producers had ample opportunity to like actually do their research, because it wasn't the first match of, you know, the family and her being there either, though. Like, they knew she was going to be there the rest of the week. And the fact you didn't
She's been there the whole time.
Yeah. So I think that's a little irresponsible on all of them. But yeah, I wouldn't necessarily put the onus only on Rodman. Also, it's the broadcasters.
Also, like, what hole do you live in? Like, she is one of the most famous athletes on the planet, not because of her last name, because of what she has done. She's in global Adidas campaigns. She was, again, one of the biggest stars of the Olympics. She is like a model type to look at, and that has gotten her certain opportunities in like the fashion adjacent world. Like, she is really famous, and you get her name wrong, and that's your number one go-to fact isn't any of those things. Isn't her championship winning athlete for both club and country? Isn't her any sporting accolades? It's who her terrible dad is. Like, it's just ridiculous. Anyway, I felt the need to say that. And I hope that my colleagues in sports media do far, far better and just don't be lazy and bad at your jobs. Ahmed, left turn. Josh Pratt is the head coach of Archbishop Spalding. He coached Cam Whitmore in high school. Cam Whitmore's now a Washington Wizard. We'll talk to Josh about Cam next here on The Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God.
Full scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani, inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.